What's up, everybody? It's Austin Rivers from the Minnesota Timberwolves. It's a new year, and I have a new podcast here at The Ringer, Off Guard, hosted by me and my guy, Pasha Hagigi.
Austin and I go way back and talk so much hoop already that we figured it was time to fire up the mics and let you in on all of these conversations.
Every week, Pasha and I will hit on the biggest stories happening in the league
and get Austin's perspective of someone currently hooping in the NBA.
Tap into Off Guard every Friday on The Ringer NBA show feed on Spotify or wherever you get your podcasts.
This episode is brought to you by eBay Motors. With over 122 million parts, from superchargers and brakes to exhaust kits and beyond, eBay Motors levels your baby up to its peak performance. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Gold Open Question of the Week, Kaz.
What's up, Shoes?
Tonight is Raw 30.
Yes.
There's going to be a lot of big wrestling legends in attendance. Hulk Hogan, The Undertaker. DX, Ric Flair, who else? Jerry the King Lawler, Teddy Long, Ron Simmons, Kurt
Ron
Angle.
Simmons.
Who would be your number one draft pick for a legend you want to see on Raw 30 who's not currently scheduled to be on Raw 30?
Wow. What a question. What a question. I almost wish I had more time to think on it, but because in the spirit of being the cold open question of the week, my number one legendary draft pick would have to be Repo Man. Repo Man is so tied in to my early days of wrestling watching. I don't think he's gotten the proper due. I think, you know what? Not even just Repo Man. You just need to just like, we always bring back the stars and the legends and the Hall of Famers. Like, they get enough love, right? Like, mm-hmm. We get it. Like, it's fine. There are so many jobbers. There are so many. The Brooklyn Brawler, Repo Man, who else? Mantar, the Gobbledygook. Like, if they just brought back all the guys who were just like WWE superstar legends, not like superstars in a general term. I mean, like the actual show they used to show on Saturday mornings. Like those guys. Barry Horowitz, you know what I mean?
I feel like we've had the Raw Anniversary show like 15 times in the past couple of years. Let's just do the,
we were at
superstars.
The anniversary show.
Yeah.
It's like, that wasn't the anniversary, though.
Oh, how many anniversaries do we get? It's okay. Well, anyway, we'll talk more about it when we start the show.
What's going on, jabronis? It's Pitch Mr. Perfect, Skylar Astin.
Hey, this is Bruce Pritchard.
This is Roast Battle Season 1 champion Mike Lawrence.
Husky Steve Kazee.
This is Trey Kirby.
This is your girl, WWE superstar, the legit boss, Sasha Banks.
Hi, this is Lillian Garcia.
My name's Kevin Owens.
I have Shinsuke Nakamura.
I'm AJ Styles, the phenomenal one, if you will, and you're listening to them.
And you're listening
you're
to.
You're listening to.
And you are listening to.
And you're listening,
you're listening to.
You are listening to The Masked Man Show.
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 Welcome to The Masked Man Mask Mondays with Kaz. How you doing, buddy?
Doing good, Shoes. How about yourself, bro?
Good, man. Producer Brian's here, too. Co-host of the new excellent show, Wednesday Worldwide. How you doing, man?
Wednesday Worldwide host. Love that. Let us sound of that, Brian.
Thank you.
Check it out here on the Ringer podcast now, the Ringer Wrestling Show feed. We're a daily feed now. Check that out. A lot of big stuff happening this week. We got the Royal Rumble sneaking up on us. We're going to break down the entire card on Thursday. But I want to talk about a couple of big WWE storylines today. I want to talk about what's going on with Bray Wyatt, what's going on with the Bloodline. Before we get there, though, got to talk about the Great Muta retirement match. Well, semi-retirement match. It is a magnificent and beautiful farewell tour where he gets to like retire as each of his personas. I'm sure Bray Wyatt's going to have like an 18-city retirement tour someday where he gets to put to bed each of his characters. But Muta and Sting and Darby Allin,
like the with the right place, right time award of the century.
Boy,
I mean, and he listen, he deserves it, whatever. But like, that's just, you know, serendipity. They teamed up and had just a. I mean, am I just being overly generous to say it was just an absolute just hell of a match? I mean, they wrestled against Hakushi, who non-Japanese wrestling fans will recognize from his
from WWE superstars. There you go.
I was a huge fan. Akira and Marufuji, but like it was just an incredible match. Hakushi got a lot of the big moments for the antagonist team. But Sting looked great, Darby looked great, Muta, who looked pretty like worse for wear on the way out of the ring, looked pretty impressive from bell to bell.
Oh yeah.
And afterwards. It was, I mean, what a fun match, man. I don't know exactly what to compare it to, but well, my mind actually went, as I was watching it, went immediately to the Sting Triple H match from WrestleMania, where they had all the like the schmazzy DX and NWO run-ins and everything, mm-hmm. and everybody still complains about the finish to this day. I don't know if there's a lot of like one-to-one corollaries, although there is the sort of like, you know, the two headliners here can't carry the match, so we're going to schmazz it up, obviously more so here than the other one. But no one's complaining about the finish in this match. I mean, what a cool match that was. Did you watch it?
I got the clips. I didn't get to watch it live, but I saw like a good couple clips of it. And I'll put it like this, man. There's certain times where like wrestling just gets to be theater. And I think that's when it's the best, right? Like when it's not necessarily a title on the line, when it's not necessarily like, oh, we got to do this because on Monday we have that. Like when it's something that could just sort of just exist in its own sort of like world. That's where I always thought like pro wrestling was the best, right? You mentioned the Sting Triple H match that some people may love or hate. I love it just because it's a match you can just watch with no context and just be like, oh man, this is interesting. Oh snap, WCW, NWO, WWF, Monday Night Wars. Oh, okay, we're telling a whole story in one match, right? We're not necessarily worried about after or before. Mm-hmm. And that's kind of what I got from watching what I saw of this retirement match. And in a weird way, I mean, I don't know if I'm doing anything crazy by saying this, but like, didn't it kind of make you want to see Great Muta in the Royal Rumble? Like, didn't it kind of say, you know what? If he could do this, I mean,
don't do it, man.
Hey, man. Like, it wouldn't shock me. Triple H is in charge. They already announced Cody. You said it yourself on last week's show. Announcing Cody gives you the opportunity to have more surprises and save more surprises. And would not shock me if we get a Great Muta appearance.
I mean, nothing is sacred, but Muta retired after this match.
And would you rather retire like that, or would you rather come out to 8,000?
Kenji Muto, but I don't know.
I mean, it probably won't happen, but
that would be sick.
I'm
guessing
thinking.
That all the fans in attendance in San Antonio would not immediately just like sit down and be like, this goes against everything I believe in. He's formally retired. I can't cheer. I can't possibly cheer for this. No, I think people would probably lose their minds. So yeah, that would be a great one. He's been wrestling around forever, you know, but it's not like he's been a guy that we ever talk about popping up in WWE. Mm-hmm. I don't know who else would even be close to that level from that.
I mean, here's my thing, right? Like they already, Shinsuke got his moment, right, with him in that awesome spot when he took the mist and put the mist back into him and stuff. Like, wouldn't shock me. I mean, we haven't seen Shinsuke in a minute. You know what I mean? Like a nice Shinsuke reemergence would be cool. A Shinsuke Great Muta moment at the Royal Rumble might be even cooler. I mean, who knows? But it was an incredible match. Don't mean to take away from any of that. I think Darby Allin is, you said it, like the serendipitous award of the year, right? You know what I mean? Just right place, right time, right person, right guy to bump around for the old guys, and a big enough name to draw in folks who may not have just watched a Great Muta match with another Japanese star that they aren't readily, familiar with in the West. So, I thought it was cool, man. Like, I didn't get to see it in its entirety, but what I saw is what I love most about when pro wrestling is done at the right, in the right sort of way. And that is, let it be theater. Don't worry about what happened before. Don't worry about what happened after. Just these next 20 minutes is what's most important. And from what I saw from the clips, I obviously haven't seen it front to back, but I've seen the moments. I've seen the standout moments of
you
that
gotta,
match.
We'll watch it when you get a chance.
And
if
you
got to
give
this,
it the context.
Yeah, watch the whole thing because it's so good. Even the entrances were just like, it put you in the moment. I swear to God, like Muda's entrance was like the least like hype entrance of the whole thing. Everybody, like it just felt like freaking Clash of the Titans by the time the match started. It was just such a cool vibe for the whole thing. And I'm going to end up contradicting myself here at some point, but it felt like an appropriate use of blood, of like significant bleeding and like chewing on wounds and, you know, everything else. You know, with the old guy matches, sometimes, you know, you remember Ric Flair's latter day bouts, blood becomes more of a crutch than an accent.
Right.
I just felt like an appropriate.
Gosh, don't
I don't
say
know.
I thought we swore not to talk about that last Ric Flair match.
I'm not even talking about the last one. I'm talking about like the TNA days when he was just like, he came to the ring with red face paint on. It felt like, I don't know. I mean, it was bonkers. But anyway, let's talk a little bit about Raw 30. And then I want to talk about some stories that are not just, it's just strictly confined to one match. We'll get there. Raw 30 tonight. It's a big deal. As we said in the opener, it feels like we managed to hit a Raw birthday party about every 4 to 5 months.
Really,
I guess if this is
it.
The 30th anniversary of Raw, that's a pretty big deal. Also, I'm just getting old, so like Raw 25 feels like it was yesterday, and I know it's, you know, not. couple of things that are going on this show. There apparently will be a DX reunion of some sort, as these shows always have.
The reunion from 4 months ago, or however long it was. It wasn't that long ago. It just had a reunion at Barclays, weren't we there?
They should send the documentary team backstage and following everybody around with cameras so we can see like Triple H and X-Pac interact with each other and not have anything to say.
God.
You know, it's just like, so how's everything? Oh, the same? Okay.
That's it. Guess hit the music, break it down.
Does a DX reunion, and we just saw one, but does a DX reunion pop you in a general sense? Like, is that the best use of Shawn Michaels and Triple H on a show like this?
Sure. Like, that's the most appropriate answer. Sure. Yeah. Okay. Like, we'll do the suck it's. We'll do the we're too old for these jokes. Like, I think the joke is like it kind of in on the joke now, right? Like, you know, it's a group about anti-establishment youth, and they have become the established old guys. Yeah. Right? So I get it. They're in a joke.
Just do a throwback. They should, if they really want to have fun with it, they should just have Shawn and Triple H come back. Do an original DX reunion.
Mm-hmm.
Shout outs to China and Ravishing Rick Rude, who are obviously not with us anymore.
Yeah.
But just to have Shawn and Triple H come out and just cut a promo, cut a work shoot promo on Vince, like the old days, and just watch the entire world melt.
Honestly, now that you mention it, it wouldn't shock me if they like mentioned something. I think they talk Vince tonight. Like, I think they're going to mention him tonight. You know, like, I think
time for another State of the Union. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, like, not even, maybe not a State of the Union, but like, they love to, you know, wink, wink, nudge, nudge when they're on, because they don't really have a script. They don't have shit to do. Like, you know, me and Road Dogg were having weed jokes at Barclays Center. I mean, like, they're pretty loose when it comes to these things. But it would not shock me if there's a Vince joke tossed in here or there. And I don't know how well that's going to be received in that Philly crowd tonight. Because, man. All right, so I'll take it a step further. What if Vince came out? It's Raw 30. Like, it is his baby at the end of the day.
Yeah.
And let me tell you something. As much as us internet fans like to feel about whatever, in that Wells Fargo Center, if No Chance in the Hell drops, they're gonna pop. Like,
well,
they're gonna pop if they hear his music come out. Like, would you be like, given everything that's transpired in the past few months, given all the accusations and the lawsuits and this, that, third, coming back, selling the company, not selling the company, creatively, would it really bother you that much if Vince did what he did the last time he was out? He came in, waved.
Well,
it's going to be a great show.
Yeah.
Then now together forever and leaves. He kind of.
It would probably bother me. It would bother me. Here's the thing.
Yeah.
I do think that given some distance and whatever, like there will be, it is appropriate to sort of appreciate him for what he's given to us, afforded us over the years.
How do you celebrate 30 years of a show that he created without him and knowing that he's back and knowing that he's there? I mean, you could do it, but if he popped out and wave to the people or did something, if he's on his, if he's the Walmart greeter now.
I just think, they always say Vince has to sort of be convinced to get out in front of the crowd these days, you know? Like, he's not, like, dying. He hasn't been dying to do it the past few times.
Yeah, yeah.
And if the, you know, Triple H is still running creative, as far as we know, and the most recent reports have said that it's because Vince knows that it's important for morale, for locker room morale, for Triple H to keep that job. If he has any modicum of self-awareness, he's not showing up on TV. Although, you know, weirder things have happened.
Weirder things have happened. I'm just saying, it's probably not impossible at this point. You know what I'm saying? Like, it would not shock me.
Yeah. Also, though, like 30s, like barely a party, right? I mean, I guess it's a big deal if you turn 30, but 25 is big. Then you got to like take a break for a minute. I feel like,
yeah.
I don't know.
30 is the birthday where like people stop throwing you big parties, right? Like once you hit 30, it's like, all right.
I guess you celebrate 30, and then by 40, someone throws you a 40th birthday party, but it's sort of ironic, right?
Yeah.
It's just like, don't worry. We'll be back here in 2 weeks for Raw 40, celebrating. I'm sure it'll come that quickly. There's rumors that Hogan's going to open the show. I don't know if they've announced that. Brian was talking to me before we came on air about Hogan's early appearances on Raw before the Monday Night Wars.
Can we just, one last thing before we get into Hogan. Isn't it hilarious how like he has a possibility of opening a show that he was barely on?
That's what I was about to say. Like, his most significant moment in Raw history might be the finger poke of doom. Functionally the tide turned, you know, everybody was watching Mick Foley.
I mean,
and they turned,
he did run Rock over with the truck.
I was about to say.
No, like, I know. There were later act things.
But I'm a Brutus Beefcake Mark. So when Hogan came to save the day.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
I've never heard those words in succession before. A Brutus Beefcake Mark. I've never heard that before.
I'm not sure Brutus Beefcake would call himself a Brutus Beefcake Mark. Wait a second. You're much younger than me, but were you a Beefcake fan? Like, are you a fan of Beefcake singles work? Like when he had the
you know
hedge
what
clippers?
It was? As a child, it was the hedge clippers, which I thought was scissors, and the fact he had cool music to me. So and he
his
had
music was pretty
strut.
Cool. His music right. was pretty well, cool. He had a little bit of a little.
I did not realize until, I'm sure I've talked about it on the show. I didn't realize until like the past, I don't know, 5 years. It did not crystallize in my mind that his he was initially supposed to have a Chippendales gimmick. Like prior to being the barber, he was Brutus Beefcake, and he was like a male stripper, and I never realized it as a kid, which is, by the way, probably an argument for, well, either that I shouldn't have been watching it or that it doesn't matter what kids watch because they just make their own sense of things. But, you know, the whole like exposed pieces of leg and butt and the, you know, the bow tie or the bow, I mean, it's very Chippendales, you know, and apparently purportedly that was it was a Linda McMahon idea. But, you know, if Swiftly became the barber. Yeah. And then he started cutting off little pieces of people's hair. And all I could talk to my friends about once we got past the kayfabe stuff was how much someone would have to pay you to cut off a piece of your hair. But yeah, when he teamed up with Hogan, that was the end of Hulkamania for me. I could not have been less interested in that. And that apparently is one of your defining moments in your wrestling fandom.
Yeah, I was 6 years old. I remember going to school and being upset that they didn't win the tag titles. But on the same time, I was happy that Hogan won the world championship at WrestleMania 9.
Yeah. It's just hilarious.
Which a lot of people hate. But WrestleMania 9 is like one of my top 10 favorite WrestleManias.
You were... Yo,
but in all fairness,
of the first 10? I mean, I don't...
Out well, of see, how many WrestleManias? What are we talking
so
about?
Because like, I
love
can,
Caesar's Palace just as much as the next guy, but holy hell.
I can't watch really? It out of my childhood because like, so that was the first WrestleMania my parents ordered for me.
Okay, I can so, see that. I can see that.
I recorded it, and when 97, they got rid of cable, and I always talk about I have a five famous tapes, and WrestleMania 9 was one of them. So because I didn't have cable, I couldn't stay up to date with wrestling. I forgot that Shotgun Saturday Night was on. I would watch WrestleMania 9 and 11, which I will admit 11 was bad. WrestleMania 9 is still great to me.
Yeah,
but,
yeah, compared to 9, yeah. I mean, compared to 11, 9 is like, you know, 7-star classic.
Exactly. And Royal Rumble 96, watching Shawn Michaels go back to back.
Time out. Let's, like, wait.
The
like,
only good thing about Brutus Beefcake and Hulk Hogan teaming up was that the Mega Powers and the, you know, whatever, all the other previous tag teams, and you can put Savage and Warrior in mm-hmm. there too and whatever. That they were unstoppable, right? The Mega Powers against the Twin Towers or whatever, it was dumb. Like, no one thought that those two, they had to fake that the heels were bad, were good enough to beat them.
I can't
so I guess with Beefcake, you can conceivably have Hogan lose a tag match because he's got a shitty partner. But like, I don't, but it's, that's the only defense. That was the beginning. It, talk about the finger poke of doom. That was the beginning. That was the beginning of Hogan's buddy system becoming the organizing principle of pro wrestling, and that contributed to the end of WCW.
I remember my mother's feelings being hurt when it was revealed on Clash of the Champions that Beefcake was the masked man, even though he was the Zodiac Ed Leslie. Yeah. We'll just call him Ed Leslie. And so I was like, Ma. It was Beefcake. He was the one that attacked Hogan. She's like, they were like brothers. Why would that?
That's hilarious. I'm shocked. First of all, I can't think of two WrestleMania endings that have aged worse than 9 and 11. Like, it's no surprise that they're both WrestleMania 9 and 11 because they're both disasters. Like, 9, you end it with Bret Hart getting salt in his eye. And then Hulk Hogan getting just thrown into the main event, like Bret Hart going out like an absolute bitch and be like, Hulk, please shave me. I can't cheat. Go hand him all night work. And then he goes and wins the title.
Do you remember
WrestleMania 11? You got Diesel and Shawn Michaels.
Yeah.
And it's like, we got, no, I mean, gosh, no Lord knows how much I love Kevin Nash. But it's like, yeah, we got a generational talent in Kevin Nash. You know what? Let's just in the schmoz. With Pamela Anderson, and let's just go with Lawrence Taylor and Bam Bam Bam. Like, holy moly, those are endings that if they happened this year, could you imagine what would be the 2023-2024 equivalent of the WrestleMania 9 and WrestleMania 11 endings? Right, like that would basically be like it's Cody versus Roman in LA.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
Cody loses by getting like kneed in the balls or something, or gets bloodline salt in his face or whatever. He's walking up the aisle. The Rock comes out. I didn't even know The Rock and Cody were friends, and all of a sudden it's like, hey man, what's going on?
Go get the belt. Go get the belt.
Go beat him up. And Hulk's looking around like, should I do it? Should I do it? Should I, like, that's something like, man.
As a child, though, you send the fans home happy.
Trust me, I get it. It speaks to just how much motherfuckers loved Hulk Hogan back then. Mm-hmm. Like, all he did was just stand there and look at the crowd like,
as I always say, Hogan was a heel. His entire career, Hogan was a heel. From his in-ring style to the way he treated his friends.
Like, he scratched his back, he was a heel. Eyeballs. Like,
dude, he won the title with like choking the Sheik with the flag. I mean, he was like, you know, he was such a heel.
He took Macho Man's girl. Like, what are we doing?
And he did all the stories that they, whenever they're just like, you know, they're trying to tell the story that Macho Man before him, it was Paul Orndorff, were like out of their mind, you know, how could they get so offended by what Hogan's doing? If you go back and watch it, they should have been offended.
They're all
Hogan
justified.
Was a dick.
They're all completely justified.
By the way, do you remember the time that Brutus Beefcake shut down the Boston subway system? Because the anthrax scare. Do you know the story, Brian?
What?
Your favorite in 2004.
It's your boy, Brian.
In 2004, right after the anthrax scares in New York or all over the country, the Boston subway system got shut down because someone found a what they thought was a bag of anthrax in like the ticket taker's booth. I'm gonna mess up this story. but basically, like, someone found the anthrax, they shut down the whole subway system. It turns out that it was not anthrax, it was a bag of cocaine, and it belonged to Brutus Beefcake, aka Ed Leslie, who was working at the Boston subway system at the time.
Oh my god.
Ooh.
Can you imagine, like, sorry guys, that's my cocaine. Like, actually, this isn't. Oh, there's that. I was looking for that. Like, I can imagine. I can imagine how that conversation goes.
Right?
It's like Brutus Beefcake just gets to work. He's like, oh man, what's going on here? He's all disheveled because he hasn't had his morning coke. And then he's just looking around.
She's like, so crazy.
The hell's going on here?
Crap, there's anthrax? Yeah, we found a bag of anthrax. Oh my God, that's terrible. Where was it? It was right on your desk. Right next to your coffee. Someone Brutus must have really have it in for you. I would love to see it dawning on him. That'd be so amazing.
Oh my God. That would be out.
That was his best gimmick. Subway worker was his best gimmick. By the way, subway worker, totally respectable job.
Incredible job. It's needed.
I hope so. Like, I know all these guys have much better ways of making money now. You can just sell autographs and go to signings and do whatever, but. If I was just a really rich wrestling fan who had like a company, I would just hire every ex-wrestler. Just there's got to be just whatever job, you know. I mean, just like come work in my like phone center. I'll pay you more money than you deserve. I think that's the way to do it. Conrad's eventually just going to start paying people like just full like giant salaries just to stand at his house, you know, just to be present. Anyway, what were we talking about? We got here
Raw 30.
Yes, that's
it. Is funny. It is funny that he's going to be opening the show, or that he's going to be playing a big role. But they got to have all these big stars.
This episode is brought to you by eBay Motors. Passion, drive, and patience—the formula for winning championships—is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance: superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED highlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
There is a rumor that The Undertaker... Well, I won't even go in. I don't know if I buy that rumor. But The Undertaker is going to be involved too. The Undertaker's in an interesting spot because has he made a big on-screen appearance since he...
Since his Hall of Fame? I feel like his render is kind of telling, right? Like... Did you see his render for like it's like he has his Undertaker, like it's like darkness in the front, party in the top, right? Like he has like
he's got a backwards baseball cap on.
He's got his backwards baseball cap on for like his badass era, but he's also got like the long like Undertaker trench evil jacket on at the same time. So it's like
it looks like he has multiple Undertaker jackets on. Like it's like he went to the Undertaker exhibit from WWE Access and just like tried a bunch of stuff on.
So
and then he grabbed a commemorative cap on the way out the door.
And he did an episode of Sneaker Shopping today with Joe LaPuma, right? So it's just like, is he going to be like podcast Undertaker? Like, is he going to come in like basically like a guy who listens to the Rogan show, or is he going to be all like eyes in the back of his head type of stuff? I don't know. That I'm interested in now. Like, I hope we get MAGA Taker. Like,
I mean, because he's been one man show Undertaker. I mean, that's his. And there's no recordings of it. Obviously, you're not allowed to record or whatever. But his one man show is sort of like how we know him. Now, I guess you know they do protect that.
Yo, but he's got shtick though, man. Like I've seen a little bit of the one man show. I saw him on Rogan. I see him on like Sneaker Shopping today, and I'm like, gosh, for a guy who's played a dead dude for like 30 years, like he's got shtick. Like, yeah. Let him talk a little bit. Let him just kind of be like all those documentaries that he's done and, you know, all the stuff he did with A&E. Like, I'd love for him to just come out and just be a dude. You know what I mean? And like not necessarily be in full, you know, the most protected character in the history of wrestling. It would be really cool to kind of see him just be Mark Calloway tonight. And just being like, hey guys, you know, I'm just hanging.
So. Yeah. It would be interesting to see what they do, because also, I mean, it's not like he's going to be wrestling at WrestleMania, presumably.
Yeah, don't say that too loud.
Yeah, at this point, there's rumors of The Rock, there's rumors of Stone Cold, you know.
What if The Undertaker declares for the Royal Rumble tonight?
Oh.
What if one of those guys is definitely declaring? One of them. There's too many.
I saw a rumor that there was, and this is the most unsourced thing ever. This is probably like a comment on a Reddit thread, but I saw somebody suggest that they had discussed a Rock Austin stare down within the Rumble.
Oh, don't. I mean, they are.
There's no way that's going to happen. How on earth can you book a Rumble with both those guys in it? I don't know how both those guys would show up to be in the Rumble together.
It's
been done before, but like if you're trying to organize WrestleMania matches for those two guys, mm-hmm. then that's basically your entire Rumble. Nothing else can happen, right? I mean, that you can have. I mean, whatever it's going to take to put those two guys over is like that's the whole thing. I don't know. Maybe I'm crazy. But and also one of them has to lose, you know. Like, I guess you could just say that's the storyline. But like,
I mean,
it's not a big deal for Austin, right? So if The Rock wins, he gets Roman Reigns, blah blah blah. It's not a big deal for Austin to lose to set up whatever his WrestleMania thing is going to be. But do you think Austin's going to be willing to lose the Rumble and a Rumble where The Rock is winning the Rumble? I don't know.
I think of all the surprises though. I think the Austin rumor is probably the most likely. Like, I think
for the Rumble,
know, yeah.
Like, what about for Raw 30? Shouldn't he be the main guy on Raw 30?
I don't know. I think there's enough names there where you'll be fine.
But
for
he is Monday
Night
Raw.
He's the most Monday Night Raw. Like, yeah. He's him and like Triple H are probably appeared in the most episodes of Monday Night Raw. No, or Randy Orton or something like that.
Yeah, I mean, there's nobody bigger. There's nobody that's more The Rock. I mean, there's nobody that's more Monday Night Raw than Stone Cold Steve Austin. Except, I mean, you could argue for The Rock, but it's Austin. It's 100% Austin.
SmackDown's The Rock.
It would be more fitting. It would the most fitting thing to do would be for all these legends to be in the ring than for Austin to come out at the end and stun all of them. Like, and just see you guys later. That would be totally reasonable.
For sure. Hell, if he comes in, stuns everybody. And throws them all over the top rope and then declares himself for the Royal Rumble, then I'm like, oh, had no problem throwing out all these old guys. It might be a little harder on Sunday or Saturday.
There's also going to be, I think LA Knight is supposed to be here. I want to talk about this LA Knight, Bray Wyatt feud. And also, we definitely are getting the trial of Sami Zayn tonight.
Mm.
It's a big deal. It's kind of a big deal. Just for the record, before we put a pin in this, is your answer to the cold open question of the week this week, Brian, is it Brutus the Barber Beefcake? Would he be the legend you would most like to see appear on Monday Night Raw?
Facts. Gotta hear the music.
Golly. You are the only Brutus the Barber Beefcake, Mark, in existence.
Look, when he got inducted in the Hall of Fame, I remember I had bought a grill that day, and I was putting together the grill in the driveway. And
oh, you said a grill like a barbecue, not like Nelly grills. I'm like, you want to bought a grill? Like, is a Brutus on the teeth? Like, what are you doing?
No, but when it came time for his induction, everything had to stop. I told the kids, y'all got to be quiet because Brutus is going in the Hall of Fame.
It's real.
You can. Why don't you play Brutus's music as your theme music on the Ringer Wrestling Show across the channels?
There we go.
I think it's okay because honestly, I don't think anybody at WWE would even notice that that's. They would not recognize the song if they listened to it. I think it'd be fun. Although I could sing it right now, I'm not acting like nobody knows it. Anyway, so the trial of Sami Zayn. So I want to do a little check-in on these two things. The Sami on these two storylines. The Bloodline storyline has been going for a long time, and I'm not going to go through the ins and outs of the whole thing, but it goes all the way back to Jey Uso being the odd man out. You know, and him wrestling Roman Reigns and everything. Obviously, it goes back initially to Roman Reigns, quote unquote, turning heel and joining forces with Paul Heyman. And there was the Jey Uso thing. Then Jimmy came back. Then their little buddy Sami Zayn starts hanging around. Then Solo Sikoa. And it gets the whole storyline is simple, but also deeply involved. The character work has been amazing. One of my favorite matches of the past 10 years is that Roman Reigns, Jey Uso match where Roman just narrated the entire thing. Like, just like they just, it was, he just talked. I mean, that's like one of the most incredible performances. And so anyway, this, it's all been building over the past little bit. There's been some tension between Sami Zayn and the Usos and now with Roman, obviously back and forth. Of late, Roman has been feuding with Sami's erstwhile best friend, Kevin Owens, and that has created a whole new level of tension. And then on Friday night, Roman does not want to fist bump Sami when he gets out of the limo. And he's treating him, you know, uncomfortably. And then the show ends with a contract signing, maybe the greatest WWE contract signing of all time, because it was short and served a purpose. But Roman was waiting, sitting in the chair in the ring to get the contract signed. He asked Sami to, I believe, take care of the cars. Is that right? Make sure the cars were gassed up or whatever, ready to go. And Kevin Owens comes in, beats everybody to a pulp, including Roman Reigns, who gets a pop-up powerbomb through the table. Then Kevin Owens signs the contract, walks. Sami Zayn runs in at the last second. They sort of have a stare down from a distance. And then Sammy's left standing over a fallen Roman Reigns because he didn't get there in time to save him. And then now the trial of Sami Zayn begins. The seeds are certainly being planted for the end of the Sami Zayn bloodline relationship. And of course, spoiler alert, there have been widespread rumors that KO and Sami versus the Usos is in pencil for WrestleMania. We should fantasy book this one this week. We on the Fantasy Slam on the Thursday show. But just in terms of, I don't want to look too far into the future. Did I get most of that right, Ryan?
Mm-hmm.
All right. I think that the biggest question, well, you, Kaz, have been a proponent or, you know, have argued that Sami needs to be in the main event at WrestleMania. And I understand that case. I think there's a very reasonable question as to whether, I mean, about how, Sami is so over right now that him splitting up from that group is going to make him the top babyface in the company by a lot of measures. And I think that they're in this place of doing a really, really precarious dance right now. In extricating him. But it does feel like we're formally moving towards the end of an era. Well, how are you feeling about the story that they're telling?
I love it. I've loved it for a long, long time. And I feel like anytime, every year now, it seems like, or every other year, you got Kofi Mania, you got Yeselmania. There's always like some mid-carder, lower-carder person when you get that opportunity that sort of like rises from relative obscurity. And I think, and granted, Kofi Mania meant more to me personally because I feel like I got to see it up close and personal, and obviously all the cultural significance of it. Yeselmania, probably more emotionally invested as far as like, you know, wow, I've never seen a guy like this, wow, Bryan Danielson, like the indie like darling is really this guy. Like, wow, that was probably cool. There's an opportunity that like pulling the trigger on Sami at WrestleMania could probably trump both of those things just because of how well the story's been told. I mean, WrestleMania was cracking because I really feel like it started at that SummerSlam. You know what I mean? Where he beat Cena and the Authority storyline really started to take off. And Kofi's was a lot more serendipitous because of injury and fan reaction and who it was, and it just made more sense. This right here, and I guess starting with the trial of Sami Zayn, is going to really tell a lot on like how far I think they're going to take this, right? I think
I just want to say one thing.
Okay, go ahead.
I agree with everything that you've said, but there has to be something. We have to mention how relatively singular Danielson was at the time of the Yes Movement.
Yes.
Not just in terms of his star power, which is unfathomable, but also in terms of like there wasn't anything else going on.
Yeah.
Right? It wasn't like okay, so, you know, there was the Rumble where famously like Rey Mysterio got booed because he wasn't Bryan Danielson, right? Mm-hmm. I mean that happened, right? I mean, and people obviously chose to boo Batista because he wasn't Bryan Danielson, you know, in that leading up to that WrestleMania and during that WrestleMania. But I do think it's a different point of comparison. I do think that The Rock and even Cody Rhodes are more palatable to WWE fans and certainly more interesting compared to Sami Zayn than Daniel Bryan was compared to The Fiend. You know what I mean? Like he was so far removed. He was so much more interesting and more compelling than the next choice. And WWE seemed completely oblivious to it, which made it even worse, right? I don't know. I mean, it's a tough call. And I do think it's going to be I don't know what they're going to do. I do think it's close enough that like reality may intercede with whatever the plans are.
It's happened before, and it wouldn't shock me.
So interesting note just on the timing by Brian Alvarez. I think it was today. He said you have to have the turn basically happen on tonight. Like you have to solidify the Sami Zayn is getting kicked out by like before the Rumble in his mind. Because you have to basically like establish what Sami Zayn is going to be doing at WrestleMania before you set up what's going to happen with Roman Reigns at WrestleMania. If they're not going to be Sami Zayn and Roman Reigns at WrestleMania, you have to already silo Sami off before we get there. Does that make sense? Yeah. Like if fans have any reason to hope that Sami Zayn is going to be in a WrestleMania main event, if you drag the storyline out, then it's going to make the Rumble really precarious because you could see people booing Cody Rhodes. You know, you could see that would be amazing if The Rock got booed and is again after getting booed with Roman all those years ago. I mean,
it's messed up because it's like, all right, well, okay, not sure if Sami's going to do the Rumble. So, like, you got to keep him out of it, I guess, right? Just to avoid something like that. But if he's in the Rumble now it's like, who's going to get more cheered than he is? You know what I'm saying? Like, yeah.
How do you get him out of the Rumble?
I could almost see a world where, like, Cody is a heel world champion.
So this is what I pitch Cody as a heel. Heel. Yeah, but is the way to go. And you could have Cody versus Sami.
Cody versus Sami. Yeah.
Like, to just sideline him or something. But. Yeah. How do you get him out of the Rumble? I mean, like, it's not like, listen, if they put the title match before the Rumble and somehow had Sami like get catastrophically injured during the Kevin Owens Roman Reigns match, even then that would make people think he's going to make a triumphant return and be number 30 in the Rumble. You know, it's like the Rumble is such a.
Oh gosh, I think it just hit me. What? I think it just hit me. All right, boom, here we go. Okay, so trial of Sami Zayn happens, right? Tonight's the night he gets dumped, right? He gets Festival of Friendship, right?
Right.
Comes back at Royal Rumble. Tries his best to help Kevin Owens win the championship. Gets shit canned. Gets a crap beat out of him. Sami returns later tonight. Wins the Royal Rumble. Goes
Are you
up
fantasy
against,
booking now?
I'm fantasy booking right now. He just gets shit canned and just like not even like dominating, like wins the Royal Rumble, like just goes in trying to like cause fucking havoc. And like in some way, shape or form, he ends up the last man standing. Like probably you bring Cody, you bring Rock, yeah. you bring Austin, you bring all those stars. And then somehow, some way, he's the guy I love standing, just like looking like perplexed, like, holy shit. Like, I'm going to take on the tribal chief now. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Elimination Chamber in Montreal, Quebec, Canada.
Where it's rumored that Sammy versus Roman will be the main event.
Right. I think maybe he gets, you know, what's the word? He gets gaslit by Roman Reigns to, you know what? You won the Royal Rumble. You'll never have a better chance than this. WrestleMania is the biggest. It's in LA. It's in the Hollywood. That's a crazy stage for you, Sammy. He's like, but you're going to be in Montreal. You'll be home.
That's your WrestleMania. This
that's
is
your WrestleMania.
Yeah.
Wouldn't you want to go into WrestleMania as the champ? Put your Royal Rumble opportunity on the line in Montreal, right? Put your WrestleMania opportunity on the line in Montreal. Does that. Comes painfully, painstakingly close, but eventually loses, right? Then you could still do Usos versus Sammy and KO. You could still get your Cody. You could still get to Cody, Rock, Roman somehow. But I think Roman, you got to use Roman's ability to gaslight people in the bloodline, to gas Sammy up, to give up his Rumble opportunity earlier than he has to.
Yeah, that
so
makes
then
sense.
Everybody gets what they want. Cody, Rock, Roman, you could still get there somehow. You know what I mean? You could still turn Cody heel.
So you're saying Sammy, okay. I like the idea of Roman kind of putting the whole bloodline in the Rumble and saying, go get it for me because I don't want to have to wrestle whoever, right?
Yeah. I could see that.
And that is interesting. I like that storytelling. I have a whole fantasy booking thing for this. I'll save it for Thursday. But it's going to be interesting to watch the trial tonight and to watch people's reaction to it. I think that they're telling the story pretty deliberately. And I think that there's a lot. I think that it's... I think that there's a way that they could do it. I actually like the way that you pitched it a lot.
Hey,
I think I think that's a really good idea.
You can do it. It'll work.
Yeah. Well, should I just tell you mine right now? Mine's really big. Well, maybe Brian can get us the music.
Let's get a Monday Fantasy Slam.
Mine's just very basic. I haven't fleshed it out. But I basically like fantasy booked this 100 times before, so it's not like I'm giving away some stroke of brilliance. But you got Sammy, however they get there, Rumble or otherwise, Sammy versus Roman, main event, Elimination Chamber, right? Nobody thinks Sami Zayn is going to win this match. So you raise the stakes to it a ridiculous degree to make it seem like, well, that would be crazy if they, now I'm really confused, make it a title versus career match, right? Straight up on the line. Roman Reigns wins decisively. Sami Zayn is cooked, walks out with his head hung. All throughout the match, whatever, Kevin Owens tries to interfere to help his buddy, but is, you know, stopped by the Usos. We basically just like spin Kevin Owens off into a one-man versus two Usos feud, right? Leading up to WrestleMania. Sami Zayn is fired. Kevin Owens maybe test drives some different partners, but we go into WrestleMania for the Usos versus Kevin Owens and mystery partner. And then at WrestleMania, ole, ole, ole hits. And Kevin Owens and El Generico kill the Usos. But that kind of leapfrogs over the question of like if Roman just like squashes Sami Zayn at Elimination Chamber, give him a good match, but like beats him decisively. How are the fans going to react? I don't know. It'll be interesting.
I'll put it like this, man. Roman Reigns beat the crap out of Jey Uso so bad, Jey Uso became a de facto top babyface in SmackDown for a long time. You can do it. You can definitely do it. It's got to be decisive though. It's got to be like murder, death, kill version of Roman Reigns where he's beating you up. He's talking to the crowd. He's talking to you. He's talking to everybody. You know what I mean? Like, you could definitely do it, you know? But there's a way. There's a way. I guess we'll see. We'll see where the chips fall tonight, man. I think we're going to learn a lot about the road to Mania.
The other storyline, I mean, that's one that I think probably gets up close to a 100% approval rating with the fans, right? I mean, some people are now asking the questions about Sami Zayn. the people are preemptively asking the questions about what happens if Roman Reigns is still the champ after WrestleMania. There have been rumors they're going to split up the titles prior to WrestleMania. So that's a whole nother element of this whole thing. Who knows? Who knows? But for the way they've been telling the story on its on the terms that it presents for itself, it's just been amazing.
This episode is brought to you by NetSuite by Oracle. The less your business spends, the more margin of money you have. I think that's pretty obvious for everyone, but actually doing it, that's easier said than done because the cost of everything is going up these days. So do the smart thing. Switch to NetSuite by Oracle. It's the number one cloud financial system, bringing accounting, financial management, inventory, and HR into one platform and one source of truth so you can easily reduce costs and headaches. NetSuite specifically helps by reducing IT costs since it lives in the cloud with no hardware required and cutting the costs of maintaining multiple systems since everything you need is on one suite. Over 37,000 companies have already made the move. See for yourself how effective NetSuite can be and try it out today. And by popular demand, NetSuite has extended its one-of-a-kind flexible financing program for a few more weeks. Head to netsuite.com/ringer. That is netsuite.com/ringer. This episode is brought to you by Lincoln and the all-new 2024 Nautilus Hybrid, featuring customizable 48-inch panoramic display, available Revel audio system, and available perfect position front seats with active motion massage. Oh my God. The world isn't wide enough. Visit Lincoln.com to learn more. Some models, trims, and features may not be available or may be subject to change. Check with your local retailer for current information. Lincoln and Nautilus are trademarks of Ford or its affiliates.
I'm not going to say on the other hand, because I'm not sure that I have any problem with it either. But there have been a lot more fan questions raised about the Bray Wyatt storyline. I said the Bray Wyatt LA Knight storyline as we go into this blackout.
Pitch black.
Pitch black. Dude, I'm sorry. Spoiler. Do we need to edit that or just, we're not sponsored by Mountain Dew or WWE, so I think it's okay.
We're going to try it on Wednesday Worldwide, live on the show.
Oh, yeah. Well, you're going to do a taste test?
Yeah.
Amazing. That's great content. That sounds, everybody listen to that.
That sounds incredible.
Okay. So, the Bray Wyatt storyline. It's not as complicated. It's not as dense as it might feel, right? I mean, it's pretty straightforward. All the way back in September, the White Rabbit music started playing, you know, and like in those YouTube, I mean, like Twitter videos and stuff, like when the house shows and the QR code started popping up, and you know, all of a sudden, you know, there's all this like viral marketing. We don't know exactly what it is, but we all sort of quickly enough decide that it's Bray Wyatt. And then at the end of Extreme Rules in Philly, he made his big appearance, came out. And I believe this part is often sort of left out of the retelling of the story, but he made his first appearance in an Uncle Howdy mask, right? So then took it off on his way to the ring. That was indeed an Uncle Howdy mask, right? There's no other way to interpret that. And then came out the next night and sort of did the work shoot, sort of, I'm just a Wyndham Rotunda promo. I'm just a dude. And then he starts getting interrupted by this like Uncle Howdy character from backstage. And then later on, he attacks LA Knight backstage and he says, oh, it wasn't me. Oh, it was me. It was Uncle Howdy, blah, blah, blah. And then they eventually announce a pitch black match. Oh, along the way, Uncle Howdy showed up in person and did the Sister Abigail on Bray Wyatt. Right. So Ms. Uncle Howdy is a physical being of some sort. And then on Friday night, LA Knight came out to cut a promo and was interrupted by an episode of the Firefly Funhouse, which we hadn't seen those characters. Well, we saw them in humanoid form at Extreme Rules, but we hadn't really seen them in puppet form, I don't think, since Bray Wyatt last was employed by WWE. That's pretty much the whole storyline. Now these two people are going to fight. The LA Knight thing is interesting. Kind of on its own terms, but just in terms of the Bray Wyatt story that they're telling, I think that the biggest issue is this. I mean, the Roman Reigns storyline has been going on for however long, over a year, and it's continuously interesting.
Yeah.
but we don't have a great track record with the Bray Wyatt character. And I think overall, the fans are not giving this one the benefit of the doubt in terms of, is it going to pay off, right? Is everything going to hold together? Is this going to, am I going to be as happy at the end of this storyline or happier than I was when Bray debuted at Extreme Rules or redebuted at Extreme Rules? I don't know. How do you think the storytelling is going?
I think it is. I love LA Knight, man. Like, I'm an LA Knight fan.
Me too.
I think he's just like, he's such a throwback, but such a like, you know, he's not like a young new guy, but like he's still somebody you could tell they got big plans for. I'm such a fan of his style. I love his character. I'm willing to wait it out to see where they go with it, you know? I think a lot of us have sort of forgotten sort of like what really makes Bray Wyatt stand out, and that is his presentation. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I think everybody that has a little bit of apprehension about what Bray's going to do, I mean, think about it. We're still raving about like that incredible debut, well, re-debut that he had a few weeks back. And he didn't even wrestle. You know what I'm saying? Like, we're still talking about that. So I'm willing to bet that Bray's had something cooked up, and the entire long-term storyline team has got something cooked up that's going to be different than anything we've seen, especially as that he's had this much time to really think about it. Like, I don't think we're going to get the same old, like, maybe we get the same Fiend music, maybe. Mm-hmm. But like, I think the presentation is going to be something that we're going to be talking about for a while. And I think even though, you know, LA Knight's put in this position where, and a lot of people are put in positions where if they're new and they're trying to establish them, they got to win their first big match, right? And I think because this has gone on so long, I don't think that's necessarily the case for LA Knight.
Because LA Knight is now a fixture, you know, in the SmackDown top tier.
Right, exactly. So he wrestles and he's a voice, and like, I'm just a, I think it's going to, they're both going to be better off in the long run after this is done. You know, I think they've put in enough time, and I think Bray's got something up his sleeve. I don't know what it is, but I think that whole team has something up his sleeve to make sure that that match and the presentation and everything that comes with Bray is something we haven't seen before and something we talk about. If you're a fan of his in-ring work, great. But you know, that's not what we come for Bray for. You know what I mean?
Do you think we're going to get any more information on the bigger story that they're telling at the Rumble? Are we going to get more?
I mean, we got to, right? I mean, like, Alexa Bliss is involved, right? She's kind of already, they've kind of already.
They even mentioned her in the breakdown, yeah.
Yeah, they were.
And there's the whole thing about whether or not Uncle Howdy, I mean, people are fairly certain that Bo Dallas is playing Uncle Howdy. I asked before on the show whether anybody would care in any real way if it was revealed to be him. Like, oh, it's Bo Dallas. Like, would that be it? I think the storyline to me, people are acting like it's like contradicting and it's super complicated. I think it's pretty straightforward. And I might have said this before. I think to me, it's always been pretty straightforward. Bray Wyatt or Wyndham Rotunda, whoever like the baseline level of this dude is a regular guy with some serious mental issues that has to sort of like embrace these demonic characters in a multiple personality sort of way in order to be a wrestler. And it's a sort of split personality or, you know, you can make it more spooky than that, whatever.
I see what you're saying.
And he comes out to the ring and he's just like, listen, guys, it's just me. It's just Wyndham Rotunda. I'm just a regular guy. I appreciate all the kind words, everything you've said about me. And then this other half of him is like, who is characterized now by Uncle Howdy, is determined to make him a vicious monster again. And so basically, like, Uncle Howdy, when Uncle Howdy is in charge, he sets up all this shit to happen for when Wyndham Rotunda is in charge, right? He hires the dude to wear the Uncle Howdy mask and come out and do stuff. He records the Uncle Howdy promos. This is Wyndham doing it himself. He's recording it as Uncle Howdy to play when he's not in control of the mind, right? And to me, that's what's going on here. And all the other characters have been versions of iterations of personalities, whatever. But it's all just one dude. So to me, it's like that's more interesting than like here's a guy, and if it's Bo Dallas or you know, who are the other people that were theorizing here? Cameron Grimes, Vincent from Ring of Honor, like whatever. Like it's, you know, I think it's or Alexa Bliss, you know,
right.
With stilts. That's more interesting than all of those things. I don't know how Alexa fits in, and I'm not sure if she's going to, how meaningful her tie-in is going to be. But I don't know. Isn't that enough?
Yeah, it's more than enough. Like, I don't know what people are. I think people's frustration is coming more from the lack of ring time.
Yeah,
you know, and the fact that Bray does a lot, even when he was wrestling a lot and every week, most of the times he'd just be talking a lot, and even like certain performers would be like, "Dude, we have no idea what you're talking about. What are you getting at?" You know what I mean?
Wow.
Like, just talking a lot of circles and riddles. I mean, that being said, I mean, it's going to be hard for him to sort of like justify, I guess, like what fans sort of believe in him. But I think knowing him, not knowing him, but like knowing how much effort they're going to put into this, the fact that it's a sponsored match and all these other things, like it's not going to just be a regular old let's grapple arm drag type of shit. Like, I think we've kind of established that it's going to be a theater. It's going to be a show. It's going to be something that we haven't seen before and something that's going to be put a lot of effort into it. Just like the effort that was put into the QR codes and the effort that was put into the debut and the effort that was put into all that other stuff. Like, it's going to be something that we hadn't seen yet. So, like, it's really hard to be like, well, if they don't do this, it's going to be seen as a disappointment. It's like, well, we don't know because we don't know. I've never seen a Pitch Black match. I've never seen LA Knight in that sort of situation, that big match sort of thing for WWE. And we haven't seen Bray wrestle in, what, 2 years? 2 years now? 800, however long Roman's been champion has been the last time we've seen Bray Wyatt wrestle a match. So,
well, when you talk about him wrestling, I mean, back when he wrestled, it's not like he ever wrestled that much to begin with, but that was the real, one of the real benefits to having the Wyatt family around is you could have him in six-man tags. And he's technically wrestling, but he's not getting overexposed, right? Mm-hmm. He can still sort of save the big single stuff for the pay-per-view. So, yeah, I'm not saying he shouldn't be a solo act. I just think he should hire Bo Dallas and Cameron Grimes and Vincent, and, you know, whoever as his like henchmen, you know, and like let those guys, you know, do most, you know, work with him in tag matches and stuff like that. I think that's a really solid formula. And I agree. I think that I'm very interested to see what they do with the Pitch Black match because yes, it's sponsored. It's inherently sort of silly, but it's an opportunity and they've made a lot of their opportunities so far. I'm very like, I think kind of what gets me the most about this, it goes back to what I was saying at the beginning, is like, this is going to change the way that well, WWE Creative is a little bit of a moving target right now. But if WWE Creative stays in the, you know, with the power structure that it has now, this has the potential to change the way that we watch wrestling. And I know that sounds like overblown, but like, if this pays off, then it changes, then we're not going to look at future long-term teases with such trepidation, such doubt anymore. You know what I mean? Am I crazy? Am I overstating it?
I don't think you're overstating it. I don't think you're overstating it. I just think, this is the magic of Bray, I guess, right? He keeps you kind of guessing.
He does.
So this is what he does. So we'll see. We shall see how it goes. Mm-mm-mm.
Man, do you think he's going to... There was, you know, the Firefly Funhouse happened last week. Now a lot of people are saying, is he going to play the Fiend? I mean, my guess is no. My guess is that these are just teases towards these different elements of his personality. But I don't think we're going to see like him coming out as a different character every week, right?
Mm-mm.
I mean, I don't know. It's impossible to predict.
It really is. It really freaking is. I have no idea. But I'm
Brian, who do you think is going to wrestle at the Rumble?
Ooh, I think it's going to be the Fiend. It has to
You think
be
it's going
to
be Black. Full Fiend?
Yeah, it's got to be.
God, Pitch never Black. Go Full Fiend. It is a bit, it does fit, but it does suit the Pitch Black match, theoretically.
Which everybody go ahead and phones out.
You know what it's going to be? It's going to be all of them. Listen, it's a Pitch Black match. It's the perfect opportunity for like him to duck into the shadows and come back out as somebody else.
Mm-hmm. Or have people dressed up as other
Yeah, stuff. Exactly. Yeah. Yeah, everybody like can make an appearance, rules. just like all the characters did at Extreme Rules.
Mm-hmm.
LA Knight, well, LA Knight might die, but that's okay. Anyway,
just give him a microphone before he does, and I'm down.
We got to get out of here. We'll be back on Thursday. You want to get in some plugs before we go, Kaz?
Yeah, man. You can catch me on Say Less with Kaz, Loki, and Rosie every Monday. You can catch me at PointsBet USA on my show Count It, talking all things NBA. You can catch me on new episodes of This Is Awesome for the Raw 30th anniversary, which I think should be out this week as well. And you can catch me on The Ultimate Show this week on Peacock. I almost call it WWE Network. You can catch me on The Ultimate Show on Peacock doing our mock Royal Rumble, Ultimate Royal Rumble with Sam Roberts, Matt Camp, and Ryan Popola. So catch me wherever you can catch me.
You can find me here. You can find me on the Press Box. You can find me on the Book of Wrestling, which is still being produced. I'm sorry for the delay.
I got one more thing to talk about.
Do it.
WrestleMania weekend, guys. Yeah. Wale Mania announcements coming soon.
Ooh.
I would keep your eyes peeled for February, early February. I won't say a specific day, but first week of February, Wale Mania information and announcements incoming.
Nice. Wow. I'm excited. Also, you should be excited about Wednesday Worldwide, the new show we have on Wednesdays on this very feed.
That's right.
Brian's a part of. I was on last week. Of course, check out Cheap Heat and The Masked Man, which are both twice a week now. I think that's it. Thank you guys for listening. Thank you guys for being our friends. Apologies as always to John Moxley. We'll see you back here later this week, humanoids.
Peace.
This episode is brought to you by Lincoln in the all-new 2024 Nautilus Hybrid. Featuring a customizable 48-inch panoramic display, available Revel audio system, and available perfect position front seats with active motion massage. Oh my God. The world isn't wide enough. Visit Lincoln.com to learn more. Some models, trims, and features may not be available or may be subject to change. Check with your local retailer for current information. Lincoln and Nautilus are trademarks of Ford or its affiliates.